foolishness of God is more wise than the wisdom of the world. The weakness of God is more powerful than the power of the world. We're going to get to all of that. But I want you to get that right at the beginning. Okay? And one of the ways that we can see and get at that is through the story that John tells us today about Jesus at the temple. So, everybody knows that you go to the temple and you have to have cattle and you have to have sheep and you got to have doves. All of those things are essential for the working of the temple. The idea is this. You have to have an animal that is of a certain quality, right? You can't have blemish, you can't have spots. You've got to have the proper animal to sacrifice at the temple. But if you're coming all the way from Galilee and you got to schlep a lamb all the way to Jerusalem, the chances are not good that it's going to arrive in good shape, right? So practically speaking, what you do is you set up the animal husbandry right there in Jerusalem, and you can come, you buy the lamb, you have it sacrificed, you have it slaughtered in the proper way, and then you take it home, and in this case, you use it for the Passover. And if you can't afford a whole lamb, you get a bunch of families together, they go in on one lamb, and then they all get to share that for the Passover, okay? So that's how the temple works. And you got to have money changers. You can't take a Roman coin with the image and inscription of Caesar into the temple. It's not allowed. So the temple, the money changers, you go, you bring your Roman coins, you swap it out for a good Jewish shekel, and you pay your money, and then everything's fine. It doesn't work if those people aren't there. So what's Jesus doing when he runs them all out? Well, there's a few things he's doing. One of the things he's doing is proclaiming the coming of the day of the Lord. There's this great prophecy in Zechariah, which is really interesting to this text. And it says, on the coming of the day of the Lord, the bells on the horses will be on the bells will be inscribed, "Holy to God, holy to the Lord." And the pots that are in the temple will be as holy as the gold bowls that sit in front of the altar. The pots and pans. Right? And all of the pots and pans in Jerusalem and all of Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts. And everybody who comes to Jerusalem will use those pots and boil their sacrifices in them, and then use them as sacrifice. And there will be no more traitors in the temple. Not traitors, traitors. Mm-hmm. Merchants, right? That's the last word from Zechariah. That's the prophecy. And here's Jesus. He goes in, and what does he do? He sends all of the merchants out. The day of the Lord is here. Powerful. Image. And if that's not powerful enough, then the people come to him, the Jewish leaders, they say, well, it says that they say, "Give us a sign. What sign are you giving us for this?" But it really says, "What's the meaning of this sign? What is this that you're doing?" I love that, because they're not coming with handcuffs. They're not going to book him. They're not going to arrest him there. They're giving him the benefit of the doubt. What are you doing? Explain it to us. Unfortunately, they're all living in the Gospel of John. And there is never a straight answer in the Gospel of John. Like, you ask this question, Jesus says this, and it's like they never meet. Right? So that's what happens in this case too. Explain what you're doing. And he says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it." Well, who's talking about destroying the temple? Nobody. But neither is Jesus. He's talking about the temple of his body. Thankfully, we have a narrator who could explain it to us. All right? So, this is where we get into the foolishness of God. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus is saying the temple is now being shifted over. Now I will be the temple of God. The temple, as everybody knows, is the place where the divine and the human meet. It's the same in the Jewish temple. It's the same also in pagan temples. That's just the basic thing everybody understands. God and humanity meet at the temple. And Jesus is saying, I'm that. And not only is he saying that, but he's also going back to the prophecy from Zechariah. He's saying, and not only this, me, my body, but just like Zechariah, where the holiness of the temple gets more universalized, right? Every pot and pan will be made holy in the day of the Lord. This is amazing. And so, when Jesus says, my body is the temple of the Lord, there is also this connection between his body and our body. His going through suffering and dying and being raised connects us with him as well. We are baptized into that. And the foolishness of God says, I meet you in your suffering. I meet you in your mortality. Now, the wisdom of the world is a whole different thing. Y'all know the story that I've told before about visiting the... I always forget the title for this guy, but he is the guy in charge of the where you go to get the casket and all that stuff. The funeral director. Thank you. I can never remember that for some reason. I think it's because I had this bad encounter. Anyway, the funeral director gave us this poem. You all know the poem I have, and gave it to my mom, and she read it. And she said, "Oh, that's lovely." And I read it, and I said, "No, that's not lovely. That's a lie." And you know how sometimes. Y'all probably do know this, how sometimes my stories get exaggerated over the years, you know. And I kind of thought, maybe I've exaggerated this over the years. Like, you know. So I went back and looked at it. I'm going to show it. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll read some of it. The poem that they gave to my mom and to me the day after we watched my dad die. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. Other stuff. Do not stand at my grave and mourn. I am the footprint in the sand to guide you through the weary day. I am still here. I'll always stay. I am the swift uplifting rush of quiet birds in circling flight. I am the stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not die. The wisdom of the world. In the wisdom of the world, we can actually go straight from life to eternal life. And we don't even have to die. Isn't that great? Well, I want to sign up for that. No suffering. Right? But the foolishness of God will not have it. And for you people, you are very slow learners about the wisdom of the world. You guys, you're almost incorrigible. So, Don Mollett's in the hospital. On Friday, I get the word. I call some people up, and people drop everything. Friday afternoon, they got plans. Okay, I'll be there. And we go down, and we do Peace at the Last, this thing that is a beautiful, beautiful book, and it's got this beautiful liturgy in it. And it is really a fool's errand to go down there and do this because we know he's going to die in the next few days. We also know he probably can't see the beauty of this book in this book. What are we doing? Maybe by the mystery of being near death, he might hear what he otherwise couldn't hear before. I think that's quite a possibility. So we go down and we pray for him. And we sing for him, and we mark the sign of the cross, the foolishness of God on his body, on his forehead, in his eyes, in his ears, in his lips, in his hands, in his chest, in his shoulders, in his feet. What foolishness is this? To waste that kind of time going down there? And then on the next morning, people giving up all their whole Saturday to go down and do it again? Different people? Now, how many people here either went to see Don or would have loved to have gone to see Don? Now, let me see a show of hands. You're going to have to go back and report to the bishop that yes. You have attended First Church of the Foolishness. Right? So it's like, that is the foolishness of God. That is the weakness of God. That God meets us there in the suffering and in the dying. But don't blame yourselves for not getting the wisdom of the world. It's not your fault. Every Sunday you show up here and you get a feast of the Word and you eat the very body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ and He meets you in the brokenness, in the hurt and in the pain, right here, in simple things, bread, wine, water, all made holy. All in the body of Christ. And so you all don't really have much choice. You're being formed in by what you eat and by what you hear and by what you hearken to. So the wisdom of the world, you can't get it through your heads and your hearts, because there's something else. It's this body. And you recognize this body, this temple of a body in everything. You recognize it. The temple and the body of the hungry people at the food bank line every week. You recognize it in the bodies of a family that doesn't have any parents. I thought they need grandparents, and that's what we give them. You recognize it in my wife and I, and in her long illness, and you fed us a lot of soup and a lot of good food, and you've supported us with your prayers and your calls and your visits, because you recognize the temple of God in all of that, in her. And you recognize the temple in the shape of the body of congregations that we pray for every week and that we visit when God gives us opportunity. Congregations that may be dying. And we say, we know that. We want to go to that temple. We want to be a part of that worship. This is what we are shaped into when we partake of the body of Christ here in this place. And we see the holiness of all of it. So, the folks who went down to the hospital, you know, you can think of the hospital as like the courtyard of the temple, right? Walking through there. You get to room 538, and now you're in sort of the inner sanctum. And then you get to the bed, and laying there on the bed is the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwells, in this broken body, this dying body. And we all say, oh, we recognize Jesus there. This is the temple. And not only do we recognize it there, but we also recognize it in ourselves and in others. What an amazing thing to have everyone we encounter be for us the holy temple of God. How would our lives be different? How would our culture be different If that's how we saw every single body in whatever state it was in. Foolishness. That's all it is. And thanks be to God for the foolishness of God. Amen. Mm-hmm.